Welcome back. You're watching the Pyeongchang Olympics at after. Okay, that joke's tired. I'm mortified. Netflix picks next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ah, yes. Yeah, everybody loves it because there's no Olympic music anymore. The Olympics are done. USA failed me again, right? No Lindsey Vonn, no Nathan Chen, no Mariah Nagasu, no. It was like the Russian. The Russian girls like had a great figure skating championship, like that nail biter. I don't know. Actually, do you watch?
We got nothing. How about you? I got nothing. I haven't been watching. Go America.
I feel like these are the fastest Olympics ever. They came and then now they're gone. Yeah. No? Just me? Okay. All right.
I got nothing.
That's okay.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. You're watching Netflix Picks here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong. I've got Ashley Chaney to my left.
Hi, you guys. I'm so glad to hear and see you here tonight. Tonight is going to be a really, really awesome show. I have something super embarrassing that you're going to want to stay tuned for. If you want to talk to me on social, find me at Ashley on camera. Let's talk there.
And we got Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, guys. So, you can find me on both Instagram and Twitter. At the moment, they are both different handles. They will be back to normal next week. It's a whole story. I will not go into it. But on Twitter, Amy Cassandra MTZ, and on Instagram, for just the rest of this week, probably. Again, long story is Amy Cassandra TV. But if you go to Twitter, then you'll just find me on Instagram.
You've got your password, didn't you? She was hacked, guys.
No, I was not hacked. It's a whole story, guys. But yeah, I'm very excited for all of this and very embarrassing conversation situation that we're gonna have soon. I'm mortified right now.
Okay, and next to Amy Cassandra is Steve Coffin. No, wait, that's not Steve Coffin. This is my friend, creator of Get Mortified, that dropped on Netflix last week.
Yeah,
Dave Nadelberg.
Yep.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
And Dave, where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me at Dave Nadelberg, but you can also find my project at Mortified on Twitter.
Great. Yeah, Steve Coffin will be back in 2 weeks. I think he's in Vegas right now.
He strategically skipped this episode because he knew we were going to be showing some embarrassing.
Yeah, this one's a good episode. You guys want to tune in? We've got a lot of good stuff. We got readings from Ashley. Got pictures of us from back in the day.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
But what I wanted to start with was Dave. So yes. Get Mortified dropped on Netflix. Please tell me about this specific version of Get Mortified, and then I want to hear. Or should we just start from the beginning?
Start from the beginning, where it all began.
Yes. I don't know. I was going to start in the middle, but
end
okay.
In the beginning.
Don't know Quentin Tarantino. Let's get it straight from the beginning.
For the past 15 years, I've had a very, very unusual job, and that is to read people's childhood diaries and to encourage them to share them with total strangers. So I do this show called Mortified, where adults get on stage and they read aloud their most embarrassing childhood writings, and that could be diaries, but it could also be horrible poetry you wrote when you were 12, or maybe you wrote some song lyrics.
Yeah,
I feel like, Rick, I feel like you wrote a lot of, like, lovely R&B ballads, like, you wanted to be, that's my vibe.
You know, man, I'm not Diane Warren, dude. I'm not a good songwriter, but I used to have.
But you tried to be.
Oh, my mom bought me, when I was a kid, my mom actually bought me a, like, diary type thing with, like, a lock on it. And I, you know, it had like a key,
yeah,
and everything. And I don't know, I think I ended up like tossing it out. I'm not sure, like,
because
burning.
You couldn't break into your own diary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was always something really dumb, like, dear diary, I love so and so. Why doesn't she like me or something? Like, it was always about some girl.
Familiar.
It was never about anything else. Like, nothing. Like, you know, like, man, that guy sucks. I'm gonna be like the champion of the world. Or it was always just about some girl. And
so those kind of diary entries wind up finding a home in Mortified, which began as a stage show, and now it's a stage show in 20 cities worldwide. And we do a podcast, and then we now have a show called The Mortified Guide that you can find all 6 episodes of on Netflix.
Which is why we're here today to talk about.
Yeah.
The Mortified Guy.
It's a Netflix pick.
That's right. I've seen it. And so the first, okay, so like when it first started, it was just, like, where did it start? Like, did you just like say, I live in LA right now. I'm going to go to this venue and see if people, it wasn't LA though.
It was actually.
Oh, it was here. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have to do with developing the live show? the actual station?
I created Mortified.
You created the...
I said creator.
Well, I didn't know if you just came in to produce the show or if you had to do with the live show. Because that live show, which I told you just a moment before the show, I was lucky enough to see at the DNA Lounge in San Francisco. Yep. And it was... like the best experience ever. It was so amazing, and I'm marveling at the fact that you're able to take that same energy and put it into a TV show, because it totally translates into a show.
Oh, great!
It's
I'm
epic.
So happy. Yeah, and so she's referring to a show that we do in San Francisco, because we do it in various cities. And San Francisco is probably one of our most popular cities.
Sure.
And the shows that we do at the DNA Lounge are super fun. So if you live in San Francisco and you're watching, you go to getmortified.com and you can find out when the next San Francisco event is.
Or they're all over. You have 20 cities.
That's
so there's
right.
here in
but
LA.
But if you want to be just like Ashley.
If you want to be just like me, and I get it.
Well, no, because unfortunately what King doesn't exist anymore here in LA. So.
Yeah, in Los Angeles we moved about two and a half years ago to a place called Wanderlust.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is
uh-huh.
most
well,
find, your, yeah. find your true north. It is mostly known as a yoga studio.
Yes.
And what nobody knows, very few people know, is it's actually a fantastic performance space for storytelling and comedy, and a lot of the Mortified Guide series on Netflix was shot at Wanderlust. We actually shot it at venues all over the country, including the DNA Lounge in San Francisco.
I noticed that. I was like, yeah, I went there.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I was there.
Yeah.
So how did the first show start? So the very first version of this.
Yeah, so Mortified began because I found a love letter that I wrote to a girl. I was in high school when I wrote it. To a classmate. I never gave it to her because I was a chicken. And then I found it years later in my mid-20s. And I thought, you know, I'm not funny enough to be a comedian. I have terrible, terrible musical ability. But I love, you know, everybody kind of like has a curiosity of like, what would it be like to get on stage and sort of command a room or sort of like impact somebody in the way that a comedian or a musician or somebody might. And I thought, oh, this would be really fun to do a night of like people reading their old love letters, and then eventually that expanded into, you know, the show that it became. And so that was 15 years ago. I've been doing that. It started in a theater. Mortified began in a theater in Los Angeles on Melrose and Crescent Heights. At the time, it was the tiny Second City Annex, I think it was called.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think I rented it for like $350. And I never invited friends to things other than maybe a birthday party. And so, like, it just filled up with, like, people going, I'll go see your dumb show. And then people were like, when's the next show? And I'm like, oh, there's not – this is just, like – I basically started it because I had moved to Los Angeles to sort of pursue a career in writing. And I had a bunch of success. At an early age. And then what happens with Hollywood?
Because it's Hollywood. Roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly.
The hands
and so in the ashes of what I saw as failure and defeat and misery and depression, I thought, what if I could just do something where I'm my own green light, where I don't have to get notes from some shitty executive who's popping their head in a room and going, you know what? Everyone in this scene needs to be wearing a blue shirt. And then you go, wait, what? Why? And then they're gone. Mm-hmm. And then all the middlemen come in and they go, yeah, it's got to be a blue shirt. So, like, I dealt with that with a bunch of shows. And I said, well, I want to do a thing where it's just, like, pure. And if it's good, that, you know, that will be from my instincts. And also whatever's wrong about it or bad about it will be from my instincts. But I can change that and mold it and grow it over time. And, you know, somehow 15 years later, I'm talking to you.
So that first show, you went up and read that letter.
Yeah, I read a letter that began, "Hello, Leslie. How is your day today? Mine's quite well, I must admit. I do hope that yours is a good one, because what you're about to read may or may not add an extra rainbow."
Oh.
No, it may or not add an extra color to the rainbow at day's end.
Wow.
Well, how old were you when you wrote that?
37. No, I was...
yesterday.
I am a creep. I was probably 15 and 15. Clearly very pretentious and like just trying very hard to be flowery and just like win this person over who, by the way, this is the fun fact, has no, as far as I know, has That's no right. idea that not only that I exist, I mean, maybe she did in high school. I mean, we spoke a little in high school. But she has no idea that she was the muse for this thing that has not only, you know, changed my life, but people have met because of Mortified, gotten married, babies have been born because of Mortified. It's in all these countries. You know, if you search on Twitter for Mortified Guide, you'll see all these people saying like, "Oh, I was having a shitty day, and then like this made me feel better."
And the people that
and this person has
too.
No idea that she created that.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that magic.
No, it's so, I mean, so what do you think of, like, 500 Days of Summer? Because, like, I mean, like, Scott Neustadter, Michael Weber, like, Scott, this is about Scott Neustadter and, like, being, like, I think the girl's name was, like, Jenny or something, and then they write the whole movie about some, like, love that he lost.
Oh, I didn't know it was based on a real thing.
Yeah.
But what I love about Mortified in particular, like, it's great that, like, yes, we all get to share this laugh, and it's so funny and painfully awkward, and we all think we're self-important when we're young and writing these journal entries that are like, I'm in love. We have no idea what love even is. But even moreover, I think I saw, through watching The Mortified Guide, a lot of healing take place just from the people that get to, like, read some of these entries.
Yeah.
I mean, so beyond, like, how it can help lift someone's day, I think that, like, you're impacting some people that maybe get to release or say, you know, put to bed some maybe painful memories from high school.
Did you have some painful memories?
Ashley's actually going to give her version of Mortified right now by reading a passage from
Wait. Yes. First of all, I want to know if we have people up in the chat, because you guys, this diary, which is I've been keeping a diary since I was about 8 or 9 years old. I start and end every journal entry with the date, my grade, and my age.
Smart.
By the way,
to
this day, I still keep a journal. To this day, I have a journal in my purse. Always. So
no, look. This is Ashley's whole life. It's like this little book. It's just one, like, she has like one sentence per year.
Wait. This is my favorite thing.
Because there's a good days and a bad days. Right?
Bad days.
And it's totally like the pages and the bad days are like black, and I'm like writing like I hate myself, which I think there's an entire journal entry that's like, I hate myself. Yeah, it's been dark. It gets dark, friends. It gets dark. Mm-hmm. But so you guys get to decide, good day or bad day.
Now I want.
Can we get one of each? Why do we have to choose?
Well, I mean, I'll do a good day because I think it's like maybe like the least embarrassing. But it's all horrible. Steve, our darling engineer, could you please pull up a photo of what I looked like when I was. Let's say this is me at 13.
This is kind of how the show goes,
so,
by the way.
So the Mortified Guide, which I highly recommend, by the way, I'm the looker right there in the hot pink hot pants and orange.
On the right. On the right. If you guys are watching, she's on the right.
Yeah.
And if I saw her out and about when I was like 15, 14, 12, I don't know how old she is, I would be like, I'm definitely going for the girl on the left.
How old were you? In that picture, I think I was probably 12 years old. And so that's right around the time of this century, right here, friends.
Oh my gosh.
This was not even my first journal entry, but same thing, Rick, to echo all of your journal entries. They're all about boys. Like, boys are the only thing that mattered in my life at this time. And I'm like, I wonder if these people, if I read anything about them, if they would even know or recognize.
The very first thing I did this morning at like 9 a.m., I did a casting session with somebody over Skype, which sometimes we'll do. And I didn't even know that my day would begin with hearing diaries, and now it would.
Oh my God! Is this an audition?
Yes. Basically. That's why I bring creators on this show. Yes,
it is now.
But I should have selected an entry in the beginning. So maybe would you do me the favor of talking about your casting process while I pick like a great,
of course.
Great
Let's do it. We're reacting right now. You guys are gonna see something really good here.
But I want you to talk about what you're looking for in a casting session.
Sure.
So we can get ready.
Yeah. So you tell us, like, you're reading through journals. Like, how do you pick what gets on the show?
Does it help? Do you have clips of the show? Would it help to see that first?
I don't know if we have any clips of the show pulled, but you can kind of walk people into it. Like, what happens?
So basically, people, you know, get on stage and they read aloud their journals. That is all curated. People, our producers in each city, spend hours and hours, sometimes even up to 10 hours per person, helping them kind of workshop something. Nothing gets changed. At least not pertinent things. We might change names for privacy. We might change dates or things like that. But we don't change any of the content.
Right.
And it's really just we have this process where we sit down. It's kind of like therapy. You'll see it in here. So basically, if this was a casting session, I see that you're already going back there in your mind. Like, I can see what's happening on your face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm like, sweating superstar style.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
So basically, somebody comes in and meets with us, and it's usually like a panel, kind of like this.
Oh, cool.
But unlike a casting session where, you know, there's a bunch of Simon Cowells sitting there with their arms folded, and they're sitting there going, impress me, like, your job as a participant, and you're not a performer because it's not about talent. So your job is not to impress me. Your job is just to share. And my job And I'll employ you guys as well, Amy and Rick, as producers, is basically we're just sort of being detectives, and we're looking for, are these things funny to strangers? Are these, so we're looking for the moments that kind of work. And so we'll probably hear, a whole bunch of diary entries.
Uh-huh.
And of that, only 20% of that might be worth sharing eventually in the show. Oh, but we're looking for those 20% here, and it's 20, and so it might be like, read us a poem and a diary. And
this is the gem out of the rough. Yeah.
That's right.
And this is what everyone can see right now being played.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, so this is exactly what you can see on Netflix. And guys, you need be watching this.
Shout out to the podcast listeners as well. For those of you who are tuning in and just listening to what we're watching, we're seeing people go up. I love the set design.
Old pictures.
Here.
I mean, just interviews.
It's very interview style. Like, you even set up so it looks like yearbook photos, which is, I thought, was a really interesting choice.
People on stage. Like,
our director will be very happy.
So the interviewing, like they interview what you guys do, what you take beyond Mortified, the live show, and what you do in the Mortified guide, is you really get into the backstories of the people who are reading these journals.
Right.
If you're in a live show, you see people reading on stage, which is what we're seeing right now.
Which it kind of be like almost like an open mic a little bit, like slam poetry type thing.
But you don't really get to know a ton about their backstory. And in the Mortified guide, you guys go in and interview them, and it's really cool. You start to know who these people are outside of just their entry that they're reading.
And you see just the stakes to which these entries are. So the thing that we're about to hear from you, you know, to us, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Right.
But to you, look, I don't know anything about you. So, like, Your parents might have been divorced at around that time, or you might have moved around, or like somebody might have hurt your feelings, and they seem small to adult us, right? And to adult Ashley, but really to the kid, all of these things are big, and so the stakes are big. And so we kind of in the series, also in the Mortified podcast too, we really try to like dive deep into sort of not just what you wrote, but why.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That matters to the audience.
And it has to matter, too. I can imagine. Like, I'm totally fine with performing. I'm not nervous about, but I'm like actually getting a little bit shaky because I've never even shared this with anybody.
Yeah.
So reading something like this must be so incredibly nerve-wracking for everybody, because here I am, like, this thing that I know means nothing. It's written when I was 13 years old, and I'm like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm crazy because it's so personal.
So you'd come in and basically we'd interview you for, I don't know, 10 minutes or something like that, just to make you feel a little more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Also so that because it's weird just reading stuff to a stranger. So we'd have you, you know, I'd ask you like, I'll ask you.
Ask me.
So where are you from?
So I went to middle and high school in Chesterfield, Virginia. Shout out to my Virginia friends.
So like a very suburban kind of area?
It was very, very rural.
Rural,
very rural.
Okay.
Yes.
Like how many kids in your high school?
Well, my high school was a satellite high school, so I was bussed in. But I was out in the sticks. Like, I was the only person, my bus driver didn't even stop at my stop. If she didn't see me out there, there was no stopping.
And who were you in high school? Like, what breakfast club
character?
Did you not
see that picture, man?
I was obviously the coolest girl. Well, that was middle school.
Like, were you in a club or something like that?
So, this is before I developed, let's say. And so that was like that was eighth grade, which is this journal entry that I'm going to read to you guys. By the way, I called my diary Gabby. For some reason, I gave her a name Gabby.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that's,
I was like,
very
dear
Anne
Gabby.
Frank of you.
Yeah, I gave her a name because like I didn't have a lot of friends. So I had actually moved schools.
I didn't have a lot of friends.
In middle school, I moved from one elementary school or one middle school, which was what I would call suburban, to out to like what I call the sticks.
What grade?
So this transition was happening in eighth grade, which is probably around the time that photo was taken. That was my best friend from my former middle school.
Aww.
So she was with me the whole time. So she was my best friend, but we didn't get to go to school together anymore. So I really was like trying to find my place.
Is she watching? Do you got her number?
Lauren, I'm so
Does
sorry.
She still look
I didn't
like
ask
that?
Her if I could. She's beautiful. She's married. I didn't ask her if I could do
this photo. There we go. Never mind.
So
story of my life.
Just give me two short details about who that girl was, the girl who wrote the journal entry. Like, tell me
absolutely.
Some favorite things she loved in pop culture, and maybe if, like, were you on a team or were you on a club?
Yeah. I was friendly with everybody. I was very much friendly with everybody. I was the new girl in school. So eighth grade, I was the new girl in school.
So you were Zooey Deschanel. Okay.
I was still trying to find my place with what social circles to be in. I had, you know, very much felt unpopular. I wasn't athletic. I wasn't good at, you know, athletics. I was smart-ish, but not a brainiac. Mm-hmm. And I just was, you know, trying to find my place. And I was certainly as you'll hear in the century, a boy crazed 13-year-old.
Well, let's hear that.
Okay, so I'm going to start you guys off mid-entry because there's a lot of, I mean, the whole thing was dribble.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
I never heard that in all the time I've done like after shows here.
Okay, so this is from January 8th, 2000. I was 13 years old. Don't do the math. I'm still ageless. And so in the middle of the entry, this is talking about something that happened in gym class. Okay. It was so cool. In gym today, we were holding hands. You have to do that for the dance. And there was a bunch of guys that didn't have partners, so they were going to have to switch in. Jamie, who I used to like but don't anymore because he's not that smart. He's really cute, though. Well, he walked by us, and Jake was like, ha-ha. And Jamie was like, shut up. I wanted Ashley anyways, but you took her. So that made me feel really good. To make it even better, Jake goes, you can't have her. And I was like, is that a compliment? And he goes, yes, it is. Plus, the teacher saw how well we were dancing and came over to get us to
what?
Teach them how to move. Then we had to go, and I just kind of left. And he was standing there with his hands out like, why wouldn't you say bye? Anyway.
Aww.
Oh, so to make up for it, I go, I love you, Jake.
No, you did not.
And that's pretty much where I'll leave it.
No,
but yeah,
wait.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'll leave it.
What did he say, though?
Then he goes on to say, you see, you'll have to cast me, and I'll tell you the rest of the entry.
You're right here. Let's have that. Right.
Hey, guys, no, but literally this is kind of how the show actually works when you're watching it, either on Netflix or if you go to one of the live shows. This is kind of almost the exact thing. It's like someone reads a passage. There's like little pauses. People laugh. And, you know, there's inflections. And like, yeah, people are like quoting things like he said this or I was cool.
Yeah,
so.
It's really bad. There's also alcohol, guys. And it's crucial that when you watch this at home, because it's so painful, awkward that you have a glass of wine, or when you go to the show live in person, drink lots of alcohol.
Yeah, it's that whole 2-drink minimum thing. No.
What I love about the show too is you get to see them reading it, and you get to see these people get really nervous right before they read something that they know it's just going to make everyone feel really uncomfortable or just start laughing. And I love seeing that where they're just like, oh no. And then they go. And it was fun to see you go through all of those emotions here. And oh gosh.
Well,
it's actually common for people to, during our casting sessions, to go through a range of emotions, even cry.
Oh, I'm just going to, you must
even
have
if
tons
they're
of
crying. Wow.
Even if they're not dealing with revealing anything that would be on the surface.
Yeah.
Seemingly emotional. Like it's not like somebody beat me up and called me a name. Like it might just be like, you know, someone that you know, a friend of mine, Gordon. He shared some stuff with me recently about some home movies that he shot as a kid.
Uh-oh.
And I think he and his best friend made a thing called like John the Farty Faced Killer, like something that there's no way there's any emotional quality to that, right? John the Farty Faced Killer, and yet in talking about it, it suddenly brought him back to a moment where, you know, he has back, you know, as everybody does, they have like things attached to these moments that I don't know about yet. And it just suddenly like choked him up. And he was like, whoa, where'd that come from? And I was like, well, that's mortified.
Yeah, totally.
All right, guys. So I am an equally employment opportunity type of guy. So Ashley's not the only one that's going to be embarrassed. Uh-oh. I'm about to throw up my high school picture.
Yay!
Steve, if you can do that, you guys can watch it. It's going to be on the internet forever.
Oh.
Woohoo.
Yes, that's me. And like,
that's a nice.
You
tie.
Look exactly the same. You just have glasses
buff,
now.
Actually.
No, no, that's not buff. That's like me, like 50 pounds heavier.
Oh.
That's me about 50 pounds heavier. And that is a Tom and Jerry tie.
Yes! I just saw
Tom and Jerry. Nice.
Yeah, I didn't get my glasses so much, much later. But yeah, that's about me, 50 pounds heavier. That is my senior picture.
Wow. What was senior year like for you?
Senior year was fine. By the time I got to senior year in high school, I just wanted to be done.
Okay, well, what do you mean fine? Who were you?
I was literally in the middle. But you guys, I mean, one of the reasons I'm at AfterBuzz, you guys probably know, here. I mean, there's a reason I have affinity for, like, Goonies and Stranger Things, because, like, I never would ever sit there and say, like, oh, yeah, I was the cool guy. I don't think I was quite the nerd guy that got picked on either, but just right in the middle. And growing up in Nebraska, it's like, yeah, I wanted to have that escape with pop culture.
in like video. That's why I beat Mina last week with the whole Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, because like, yeah. I know how old I was when I watched it. It was a VHS tape, and I know it wasn't in the 1970s. So
were you in any clubs or in anything?
I did high school like swing choir type.
Swing choir. I didn't have that.
At my school, that was like the cool kids.
Really. Dance?
Yeah, like doing the whole. I mean, Dave, you've been to karaoke with me, man. They don't call me the karaoke king for nothing. You've been to karaoke.
They don't call you that.
They don't call me that. Well, there are certain people call me that, but yes. You've been to karaoke. Swing? You've seen me do karaoke. Yes. That's where it all comes from.
So it's like Glee.
Huh? A little bit, yeah. Yeah, a little. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. You're actually right. Yes, that was me. And Steve, could you throw up a picture of our very own Steve Kaufman?
Oh. I wish we could get more info on this. We're going to have to grill him next time.
I mean, I think he's just as cool.
Kaufman is not here, and we're going to ask him about this next week, or in 2 weeks when we come back. But look at this. He is wearing a tuxedo. He's got a mustache. The hipsters did not exist yet. Hipsters did not exist yet, so I don't know what he's thinking. And this wasn't I know this was in the 1980s, so this is way past Magnum PI.
So what year is this?
I don't know. Steve, I'll have to ask. I'll get the information. But this was, Steve is probably somewhere around, that's probably like the late 90s, if not the early 2000s-ish.
Interesting.
Mid-2000s maybe? Sorry, like, Steve. I don't mean to age you at all, dude. I don't really know.
And I wonder, like, the choice of outfit here. Like,
well, no,
it's senior picture. You have to dress up.
I didn't have to, but some people did. Some people had to wear, like, the tuxedo or, like, the nice, like, formal dress in their... Like,
which, by the way, wasn't even a real dress. It was like this fake, like off the shoulder thing that you put on over a t-shirt.
It was not even
a real dress. It was,
wow, I had no idea.
Did you have to wear a fancy outfit for senior?
I think I wore a tie, but I didn't go like black tie. I think I was just sort of like, you know, I was wearing wedding or bar mitzvah attire, as I will call it.
All right, and Steve in the booth. Can we get Amy Cassandra Martinez?
Oh no!
Look how cute she was from back in the day. No, she's Minnie Mouse. Wow, Minnie Mouse, huh?
Yeah, like
you created like the.
Really, you did this?
She had no idea. Let's throw Minnie Mouse for Amy. Thanks. But let's throw the real picture of Amy back in the day.
Okay.
It's pretty much Minnie Mouse.
It's pretty much.
Cutie patootie.
Adorable.
So for all of you that love like her on AfterBuzz, you're like, oh, she's so hot, she's so cute.
Oh,
I mean, there you go, right there. That's where she came from.
So weird. So oh God, everyone's gonna see this.
Are you saluting the camera?
I'm not. The sun's in my face. So I want to say this was taken with a disposable camera, but maybe I'm wrong. That's why it's like a black and white one.
How old are you? Like roughly?
I think I was a junior. In high school, you can see I have a retainer. So I have an implant, a dental implant.
Got a fake tooth.
This one's not real, yeah. And then this is a veneer. So I had a lot of issues with my teeth. So that
retainer, you got to a lot of fights when you were a kid, huh? So like, there's like people knocking your teeth out. And
oh, really? Wait, let's not zoom in.
Good job, man. Good job.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah. Okay. So that retainer actually held my fake tooth.
Nice.
Which was horrifying because when I had to eat, it had to come out.
Yeah. So you're toothless.
Yeah. So I didn't get all of that fixed until college. I didn't wear any makeup at all in high school. I didn't start wearing makeup till... My first year.
Well, you're still not wearing makeup, so I mean, you know,
right,
I mean,
this is natural, guys. These are my natural lashes. And this was actually on my way to an orchestra concert.
So isn't it funny how a picture can transport you back to exactly how you felt at the moment? In the same way that a diary entry can make you feel all those feelings from that moment in time?
Well, that's the power... Oh, sorry.
Well, no, and I just wanted to say, like, when I say orchestra concert, meaning that I was in the orchestra. So that's a long black dress, and I had cropped it because I just wanted...
What'd you play? That.
Violin.
Oh, I played the violin. Okay.
Yeah, for first violins, which
humble brag.
Can you still like violin. come in here one day and like rip out like devil went down to Georgia, like just like a stir.
Oh no, that's hard. That's hard. No matter what.
you know your limitations,
what.
Huh?
Yeah. But my sophomore year, it was right before that. I was concert mistress, so that's first chair, first violin, which was a big deal, and I was also in Pep Squad, so
that's who Amy was. Cute. That makes a lot of sense.
I'm literally honored to be sitting next to you two ladies because you ladies turned into like swans.
Aww. Wow, that was like a backhanded compliment. If I've ever heard one.
Did you see my picture?
Did you see my picture? Duckling, so
I said, you ladies turned into swans.
Yeah, so you didn't say exactly how we started, which is, you know, started from there. Now we're here.
All right, so back to Mortified. Okay, sure. You're doing the live shows, and then someone approaches you to actually get it produced on air.
Yeah, I mean, probably in the second year of Mortified, we shot a pilot years ago that no one has seen for good reasons.
Wait, did I not see it? Because I thought I saw
you
the document. I've not seen it, okay.
You've not seen it. We made a pilot for Comedy Central, and it didn't go. And it was not that great. Although, fun fact, Retta, who you might know from Parks and Rec and Good Girls,
right,
yeah. She was in the pilot. She's also been on the Mortified podcast. But we did this pilot. And it was really fun, but it was very TV. It was like shot in like a TV studio, not in a stage. It wasn't in a real club. It had a lot of contrivances, and it was actually really the most important. It was a very important moment. For me and Mortified, because I started realizing what matters about this. And when the pilot died afterwards, I thought, you know, I even had an agent. It wasn't my agent, but an agent who was involved with the project said, you know, you should let everybody kind of forget about this project. Just everybody in town sees this as a failed thing. And I went, this guy's an idiot.
So good. Good for you.
And I thought, basically, you know, this guy thinks that I said nobody thinks. People see this as a fun, joyous, mm-hmm. you know, experience, and it doesn't. I don't care about TV. Like, if we get to have a TV show, great. If we don't, whatever.
You have your live shows.
Yeah, and so it was this moment of I hung up the phone with this guy. I flipped the bird to the phone, and I called a venue in Los Angeles, and I said, "Hi. I've been doing this show for about 2.5 years. Every time we do it, it sells out. Here's what it is. I want to book your best night. Give me Friday or Saturday night, and I guarantee we will have a packed room." We were there for 4 years, never had a show that wasn't packed. And and then we started doing shows all over the country and now the world. And some of those, I think even some of those pieces from back in the day even make their way into the Mortified Guide, into the new show.
Was the show that you were creating, the pilot, was it sort of, did it lose some of that documentary feel? What is so striking is the authenticity, and it just totally translates from stage to show.
So the director, Mike Mayer, we had done several pilot attempts over the years with various people. And eventually we decided, let's just make something on our own. Mm-hmm. And so we made a movie called Mortified Nation, which you can also watch on Netflix.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Oh, yeah. And so that's a 90-minute movie that has, I'm actually in it. And there's some behind-the-scenes-y stuff in it. And it's really fun. And but the director, we said, we want to make this on our own. I want no network, I don't care if we're making it for $10 or more, but like we're going to do a thing that is good our way or bad our way, but it's going to be our way. And it really worked. And he really held, Mike did a very good job capturing, he really captured the experience of being there live. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think a lot of times when you watch a lot of like stand-up specials, like HBO kind of stand-up specials, it feels like a TV presentation. Mm-hmm. It feels like a little distance. You're not part of a thing.
Totally.
And that's fine, but anyway.
How did you... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, I'm just saying, Jay Becker in the chat has a lot of questions, so let's get started.
Jay Becker.
Came first? The show, the pilot, the book, the TV show?
Right. We've had all of those, yeah. Jay Becker. The first was the stage show, and then we started doing stage shows in New York and in San Francisco and so on. Around that time, the pilot happened, that first pilot. There was a few different kind of things over the years. Then we released a book, Mortified, Real Words, Real People, Real Pathetic. Last year, we just came out with our third book, which is actually our first diary. So because, Rick, because your diary got destroyed, you said, or you don't know where your teenage
diary is. It's gone, man. It's
so here's the deal. Here's the deal. We actually just released a book called My Mortified Life, A Guided Journal to Gauge How Much You've Changed Since Childhood.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this is a really fun journal where it's basically the teenage journal for people who don't have a teenage journal. But it's also, even if you did, it's a bunch of questions that sort of get you to reflect on who I was when I was 13 and who I am in my 30s, my 40s, and my 50s, or even in my 20s, whatever you are
now. Sounds like a life coach-like book.
Yeah, and basically you answer the same, like you might say, like, what's the worst fight you got into when you were a teenager? And you think about that. I can see it. All of you are thinking about that, right?
Yeah, you don't need a therapist. Just go buy this book.
Exactly.
You'll be set.
But then we ask, what's the worst fight you got in the past year? Right? Mm-hmm. And who was it with? How long did it, how did it resolve? Did it resolve? Did it change your relationship?
I don't know, Ash, are we cool? Are we cool?
Those are totally therapist questions.
And then you rate yourself, how much have I changed? On the topic of fighting, how much have I changed from childhood self? Like, am I the same? Or am I totally the same? Or am I totally different? And so that's the book. It's a series of questions like that where you think, am I the same weirdo I was when I was 12?
Yeah, great. That's
okay. Whoa. So you've got,
that's My Mortified Life. Yeah,
and so when the actual first incarnation of the show went, so that was on Sundance. Channel.
So right, eventually, about in 2013, around the time we were making the movie, or 2011, we released a TV series that was like based on like a web thing we did where like I had interviewed Alanis Morissette about, oh, I'm sorry, did I just drop a, but I interviewed Alanis.
Isn't it ironic?
It felt a little awkward, so I had to call it out. But I interviewed Alanis Morissette about her teen angst for that you can watch on YouTube right now. If you Googled like Mortified Alanis, and Sundance Channel saw that thing that we had did on YouTube. And we basically did two seasons of a TV series that wasn't Mortified. It wasn't our stage show. It was this sort of spin-off project called The Mortified Sessions that was like celebrity chats where I would like talk to like people like Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family or Alanis Morissette or, you know.
So did Jackie do a – this is Jackie Tone who's on GLOW, so that's Netflix appropriate. But did she do a stage show or was she in one of those sessions or
– Jackie wasn't famous yet, so she was not on that TV show. Now she's a big, big deal.
Right.
The best of big deals. She's fantastic. She's been on our stage show for many years, Jackie Tone. She's also been on our podcast. She was in our Thanksgiving episode, I think, about 2 years ago on the podcast. We almost put her in the series. We were almost going...
For this Netflix one?
We were debating it because each episode is sort of themed and we wound up not doing a theme that made sense for what her piece is. But basically, Jackie Tone, if those of you don't know, she plays Melrose on the TV show GLOW.
And if you guys want a better idea of her interaction, got her on the red carpet for GLOW. You can find on AfterBuzzTV.com, red carpet. Thank you.
Nice. So she wrote diaries about the first time she lost her virginity.
And
what she did was she wrote it in a gratitude journal because she had read in Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul in an essay by JTT.
Oh, JTT.
He said, you should keep a gratitude journal. She's like, I will. And so she keeps a gratitude journal. God. And in her gratitude journal, she was like, I lost my virginity to this guy. And it's all about how grateful she is. And she's so sort of like precious about everything that and this is super gross. But she winds up saving not the condom, but the wrapper. Pasting it in the pages of the book. Proceeds to do that every single time they have sex for the next 13
She has this guy's DNA. This is like scary.
No, it's not DNA. It's just the wrapper.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, there's one other celebrity tie-in that I'd love to make with you, which is that, again, before the show, we were chatting about San Francisco and how I'm friends with Anthony Veneziale, which you guys may or may not know, but he's now starring in the series called Bartlett with a friend, Chrissy Mazzio. We were all on a show in San Francisco together called San Franland.
And Bartlett is on Amazon.
Bartlett is on Amazon, so it's not a Netflix show, you guys, but Anthony Veneziale, who's now on this Amazon show, was on The Mortified Guide, which I didn't see this episode. So what episode is he in?
I believe it's episode 5. So we have 6 episodes on Netflix of The Mortified Guide. And
I love the themes, by the way.
One of them is The Mortified Guide to Pop Culture. And he's in that episode.
Okay,
I think that's 5. And so in The Mortified Guide to Pop Culture, there's a woman who writes named Naomi Coe. And Naomi Coe wrote Harry Potter fan fiction when she was a kid.
Yes.
You've seen this?
Yes. Yeah.
And so she wrote Harry Potter fan fiction, but she was not getting no one was reading her Harry Potter fan fiction. Okay. So she noticed that all the fanfic that was doing well on the fanfic sites back in the late 90s, early 2000s was gay Harry Potter fanfic.
Oh, sure.
So she was not gay and had never even kissed a boy, but she decides to write her own stab at gay Harry Potter. And so amazing. We brought that to life with a cast, and your friend Anthony happens to be, he plays Harry Potter.
Oh, very exciting. I can't wait to. I've been
in this reading of fanfic.
Doling out the episodes because they're so good, and there's only six, and it's like, I equate it to going to a live show, so I want to dole it out for each weekend. So my suggestion to you, our Netflix Picks audience, is to space them out, as a little weekend treat, because it's
this one, I mean, you can binge it if you're having a great day, but this one's also it's that slow burn of, you want to savor it. Yeah. You want to savor it. It's like that delicious cookie that you don't want to just gobble up in one
bite.
And it's
also, I think one bummer about binging is, I think something that's great about Mortified is, or that can be good about Mortified, is it inspires conversations. So if you watch it with a friend or whatever, you watch it and then just one episode, and then you'll kind of want to talk to an old friend or even I bet you've learned a bunch, Amy, about that you don't, you know these guys pretty well. But yet just learning a little
you
bit
don't
about,
know
their,
me.
About their childhood.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing is sort of...
Yeah. Great date night movie, or great Netflix and chill actual thing to watch to Netflix and learn more about the person that you're chilling with.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Two things. One is that it also helps, I think, teenagers that are watching this. It's you might feel everything's the end of the world, but look, these are adults. Everything's okay. We all go through crap. I mean, some of it is very intense, but it's therapeutic for people reading. Therapeutic for people being there, but also viewers that are younger. My question was also, you've had a book, you've had the live show, now you have the Netflix show. Where do you see this going? Where's your ultimate goal of seeing all of this?
Personally.
And have you trademarked Mortified, the word? Can you trademark it?
Well, that's a whole complicated thing.
Answer Amy's question. Answer Amy's question.
But, what was your question again? Oh, where's it going? Where's it going?
The future. Where you see the whole...
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm very interested in bringing Mortified into the living room. I've been trying to develop sort of a card game type thing.
Awesome.
Because I want people who... I just want to have people... The real goal of this is I want to change people's relationship to the word shame.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think we have a real intense relationship with that word in this culture. And actually not just our culture, but I want to give people tools to bond and laugh and have fun and get to know each other and by sort of conquering and sort of addressing their issues with shame. Now that sounds like an academic exercise, but but that is my goal. So whatever that means. And so one way that I really want to do that is I'm trying to figure out how we can, game is not the right word, but an activity, a home activity, so that you don't just have to get up on stage to experience that. I want you to be able to experience this at home.
Yeah.
With your friends, your loved ones, whoever.
Totally. I'm seeing Cards Against Humanity or the Heads Up game.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, games have really evolved, or people just having a dinner party and having them come over. Someone had an outline to sit there and say, let's just do it like this. And it's honestly sometimes having conversations with people is kind of hard.
Yeah.
And so it's a good way just to get to know or like you said, deeper your relationship with your friends.
Yeah. So we've been kind of looking for partners in that world who are kind of interested in helping us make that happen. But
has Netflix given you any type of idea of, because this literally just dropped, but have they given you any type of idea of how long it takes before they say we'll pick it up for season two? Or they're just hey, it's, or is it a two season?
Yeah, so it's a very unusual thing. We're not actually a Netflix original, though Netflix paid for the show. Not just me, but Mortified, our team, we own the series.
Right.
Which is kind of like how people make independent films. And it just happens to be distributed, shown on Netflix.
Okay, great.
So it's acquired by them, so they can show it for X amount of years. But at some point, then we have the ability to take
it back.
So there is... So the weird thing about season two is, if they want to approach us, but we could do it anywhere, really.
Huh. Yeah.
And So so I mentioned that because this is a real, the show is, if you're into like independent cinema or any, like independent TV is not really so much a thing. And this show is absolutely 100% an independent thing where it's not, there. We got no notes, we got, you know, and.
How long did it take to tape this, the verse, this, that you sold to them? This chunk of like the six episodes.
I mean, it was years.
Years. Oh, so this is years of footage. Not but, like we did it like the course of last year.
Sorry, it was years like putting the whole thing together. But it was, we shot most of it in October of 2016. We shot some other stuff later. And then we also used a little bit of archive footage that we had. But most of it was shot in October of 2016. We maybe spent a year in post.
Yeah, because I like how you guys, because when you guys experienced the live experience of it, you know, like there's like the drawings and the animation. Like I know, like in, I think the first episode, someone's telling a story and like animation's kind of like drawing the story as it goes along. And you don't experience that in the live show, but I was like wondering about that. That's like a cool added part of watching.
It's like an awkward enactment or an awkward. Yeah, enactment. Yeah. What's it called? An awkward enactment.
There's I don't
like
know. A I'm term just, for I'm it. I'm realizing that my girlfriend just posted I a saw. Dirty thing on there.
I saw that.
I was excited. I was like, somebody I don't know thinks. Oh.
Thank you for joining us in the chat. Fans. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, I love
Thank
it.
Thank you, Jillian.
All right. Well, we got a little bit of time left. So, Amy, I wanted to give you a chance, really quick, to talk about Seven Seconds. You were at the carpet this weekend, yes. Which dropped this weekend. We'll be back in 2 weeks after the, because next week is the Oscars. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about a lot of the different shows that dropped. But Amy just covered 7 Seconds the carpet on Friday.
Yep.
How was that?
Friday. Yes. It was great. It was at the Paley Center. It's funny because you joked that I was only going to have 7 seconds to talk about it. We have a little bit more.
Keep going.
I'm going to take my time. No, I'm just kidding. It's great. It's a very intense topic. I can't possibly tell you everything about it.
All right,
it,
well, but, then we can, in 2 weeks, we can kind of.
Yeah, it's relevant because there's so much going on in society that watch it. Watch the first, even like the first 30 minutes of the show. It's going to start like this. And you're going to be like, okay, this is what it's about. Everyone there, though, was super nice, and they really felt passionate about talking about this. So it's a completely opposite of what we're talking about right now, but give it a shot and let us know.
Yeah, guys, so we will be back in 2 weeks because next week's the Oscars. Ashley Chaney will be covering Ugly Delicious. We can dive more into 7 Seconds. I'll talk about Mute, which dropped this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to thank Dave Nadelberg for being here and talking about The Mortified Guide.
Fun.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, I hope to have you come back again and talk about more stuff. So you guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHong. And
you guys can find me at Ashley on Camera or maybe on a mortified stage somewhere. I don't know.
That would be fantastic.
We'll see. You might have seen the first audition here. Talk to me online, Ashley on Camera. See you guys there.
Amy?
Okay, so for this week, on Twitter, Amy Cassandra MTZ, and on Instagram, Amy Cassandra TV. Just, you'll find me, promise.
And Dave, where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me at Dave Nadelberg. Good luck spelling it. Or you can find me at Mortified.
All right. Hey, guys, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you, Dave Nadelberg, for being here.
Yay.
Go watch The Mortified Guide. See ya.
Yay.
See ya.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Mortified.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.